it's hard to know that you hate your child. It's hard to know that, because we're not supposed to hate our children, we love them. It's really hard to see your child and wish you didn't have to figure out how to get through that day with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to wonder how you can be nice to them today when they keep beating you up. Mm-hmm. Like when you have scratches on your face and when you have to put your favorite sweater in the wash again because they spit on it and they know it's your favorite and they also broke your favorite mug. They're doing all these things to get you to see them. And you do see them, but they don't see that you see them, and you are tired.
Is your child's challenging behavior leaving you feeling exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? You are not alone. And I want you to know you are not a failure, and your child is not broken. Welcome to Calm the Chaos Parenting, the podcast for parents raising strong-willed, highly sensitive, or neurodivergent children. I'm Dana Abraham, parenting expert, and I have helped hundreds of thousands of families just like yours. Each week, I'll share simple science-backed solutions to help you feel more grounded, in tune, and deeply connected to your child, no matter what challenge you face. Start your journey from surviving to thriving as a family at calmthechaospodcast.com.
Hey, 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 guys, it is Dana here, and today I am here to talk about really challenging situation and a difficult topic. If you have ever felt like you are dealing with extreme behaviors, dangerous behaviors, so dangerous that they leave you maybe resenting your child a little bit, maybe even secretly saying that you hate your child, or you're dealing with these dangerous behaviors and they leave you feeling like you have no hope left at all. Like it's too far gone. There's too much chaos in your life to actually take action on anything. You need to listen today. This interview, the special guest I'm going to be talking with today, she has been right where you've been and she's going to be sharing her story and you need to hear it. She's so inspiring. So Tamara, welcome. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Hi. You already made me cry.
It already made you cry. Oh no.
Oh, boy.
Tamara, oh, it's okay. It's okay. All are welcome here. So Tamara, I am so honored to be talking to you because I have watched you continue to show up on hard days, continue to take action when most people would have thrown in the towel. And so I am just so excited for people to get to know you and hear your story. So can you share just a little bit about who you are and your family?
Yes, I'm a single mom. I am disabled, so I get to be home with them. Their behaviors are so intense that we homeschool because I cannot be picking them up from school. My oldest got kicked out of preschool and we just stopped schooling after that. And they are 13 and 10 now.
So talk to me a little bit about what life used to be like. It was pretty rough, right?
Oh boy. Don't put me back in that box. It was a hot mess. I just think I was just realizing that sitting here talking to you, just this moment, like going to use the restroom would have resulted in an injury to one of my children. I had to bring one with me at all times. I couldn't be away from them for any amount of time without one of them getting hurt or one of them having such a harsh meltdown that it wasn't possible. Just even being able to sit here talking to you is just magical. I was paralyzed. Nothing was going to work. I had read every book. I was doing all the things and none of that worked. I had people telling me, you're doing great. You're doing all the things, but the disconnect to the reality of my life with this child was so different that we would have a 45 minute meltdown, but then we would have the after effects and the workup. So we 3 meltdowns a day, it would take all day and we'd be trying to avoid it. It was just, it was exhausting. And honestly, can I say this on, I hated her, not her. I hated what she was doing to our family because I couldn't go anywhere My oldest daughter would want to do things, be with her friends, and we couldn't. Everything we had, my youngest needed, and my oldest got nothing. And I felt so guilty that I couldn't be what she needed. And I couldn't pay bills. I couldn't, everything was an emergency or it didn't get done. All I could do was keep my kids from killing each other or killing me. That's all I could do. We had an in-home hospitalization for my youngest. She was 8.5, 9 at the time. And that's all they could do for someone that young. And even that was not so helpful. And it was, by the time I saw your Calm the Chaos Week thing, I thought nothing's going to do any good, but gosh, I got to try something because these are my kids. There's nothing else. And I was looking at hospitalizations for a traumatized 10-year-old because I had nothing left. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it anymore. You can't maintain that. And I couldn't do it.
When I hear a lot of people come to us and they're in the same boat, it's kind of like last resort. It's they've lost all hope and they feel like, but I can't do anything else. Someone actually just told me this morning, their life is too full of chaos to be able to start taking care of the chaos. So what would you say to someone before we get into how life has changed and what you've done and some of the strategies? What would you say to someone who already is shutting down the possibility that this could be something for them?
I look at all the ways that I had spent money already. I was still, as soon as the kids were in bed, I was still Googling. I was still looking for hospitals. I was still looking for solutions. So the effort was still being made. I was still going to doctor's appointments. We were still going to OT, PT. We're still looking for a new magical medicine. We're still doing all the things. None of them were doing any good. I was still having to need more medicines to cope with my stress. You're going to have to do something to cope no matter what, whether it's having to buy fast food because you can't cook. But something's going to give. You're going to be using your efforts in some way no matter what. So it might as well be in something that's actually going to do some good. And that's what I decided with your program. Let's see if this will work. And it's a whole week. And it seems like it's minimum effort, 1 week of getting on for what could it possibly be, half an hour, an hour?
Yeah, during the 7 day, you can just watch the videos or you can show up for the coaching, which is an hour a day. Yeah, for 1 week, for free.
With my kids. I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I can be with them so I can pause it. And then I learned you could double time you. I was just like, oh, mind blown. So it was just like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And yeah. So yes, it's possible. You're going to put out the effort anyway. It might as well be for something that's going to work.
Ooh, I love that. You're going to put out the effort anyway. It might as well be for something that's going to work. I love that so much. One of my mentors used to say, you're going to have to pay one way or the other. Are you going to pay with spending so much time and energy and resources and sometimes money on the stressful things that aren't working? Or are you going to go all in, take the leap, and put your time and energy into something that actually gets you results? And so I think that that's a great way of putting it. And we have to make a decision at some point. There becomes that tipping point moment in our life where we say, I just can't do this anymore. And you had that moment. As you said, you were looking at hospitalization for your daughter. You said you knew it wasn't right for her because of her early trauma. And you just were like, this, I know this is going to be terrible for her, but I don't know what else to do. And so you decided to try Calm the Chaos. So talk to me a little bit about some of the changes that you made or some of the differences, especially around these really dangerous behaviors. What were some of the first things you did?
Okay, don't laugh, but breathing.
What? It's amazing how much we forget to breathe, right?
If you had told me that just breathe before you go talk to your kids, I would have walked out the door and said, this is stupid. What a waste of my time. But honestly, but that has fundamentally changed everything. It changed the landscape of my home so fast. And here I'm going to cry again. It made it so that my first goal was to take a deep breath before I even went into my children's rooms in the mornings to wake them up for school. So I stand outside their door, I take three breaths, and then I go in, and it changed everything. They have pathological demand avoidance. It just changed it so that now I think about the context that they're in, and then I think about where my headspace is, and now they're more connected. So mm-hmm. now it's like I can walk in and see where they're at and where I'm at, and figure out how we can be together before I even open my mouth. Mm. And that has really changed everything. Mm. Because now, instead of all of us really just trying to get our needs met, now we're all just working together. Mm-hmm. And breathing did that. And I didn't do anything else. It was the first week of using that skill. And that is the one thing that did that. After that, then I had the time to learn how to do the rest of the stuff.
It's almost like it gave you the space. It became the spacer. And the more that you breathe, the more that you were able to stay calm, it became the spacer to add in other things and other strategies that would help.
Exactly. Because I didn't have time for taking a whole class and doing all the things. But once I started breathing, I did. Mm-hmm. I had the time because their behaviors, they decreased by 50%. Just in that first week, just by breathing. It was amazing.
I'm going to give you a little bit more credit. You didn't just breathe. You changed your mindset. So like people listening to this are going, okay, so I'm just going to breathe. Everything's going to be totally fine. And my life is going to change. You took on the change of seeing your kids differently, seeing their behavior differently. You took that mindset shift on so quickly that it felt like breathing was the only thing, but it was your breathing and your anchoring. I'm going to clarify just a little bit because you even said it as you're sharing, you're saying, I got clear on where I was in my headspace, where they were. And I started to realize like where we were together instead of jumping in and demanding and jumping in and asking and requiring of them. So that pause gave you space, time for you to shift your mindset and time for you to see them differently. And so I think that is why it was so beneficial for you because you were on go mode for so long that even pausing was almost probably scary for you.
Very, very. Yeah. It was like, no, we have to do the things. We have to go, 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 go. Yeah. And my kids were tired of being driven.
Yeah. And one of the first plans that you worked on, now we work on a lot of plans in the Calm the Chaos program, and you like just, I think that's one of the things that was so cool is like you step by step did every single plan and walked through all the pieces imperfectly, but you did it and it was beautiful to watch. But one plan that kind of kickstarted it all was your emergency plan. Because you were dealing with these really big emergency behaviors and you were dealing with these dangerous behaviors that were making everyone else not feel safe in the home. Can you talk through that plan? We can go through it in UQ format if that helps, or we can just go through some of the steps, but can you share a little bit about that emergency plan?
Sure. It started by just listing what were the things that were happening that were dangerous. So it was her throwing things, her kicking, her spitting at me, her making sure we can't have sharp things in our house that are easy to get, pencils. I mean, seriously, because she's going to use them. And when she's mad, she's like a super human being. It's very strong. Mm-hmm. And she'll grab whatever's close and chuck it at you. And you got to be out of the way fast. She's out of her mind in that moment. She doesn't know what she's doing, but oh boy, you got to be ready. And we were using safety holds at the time because they were so extreme. We that was all we could do. But here she is turning 10. She had failure to thrive. So she's tiny, but small, but mighty. And so holding her in a hold, I had just had my knee replacement surgery. I couldn't hold her anymore. I couldn't be in that position. Sometimes it was 45 minutes and it felt inhumane. and I hated it. And so I couldn't do it anymore. And so I was looking for a way to be safe, but also to help her. And there's all these behaviors. And if I didn't pay attention to her soon enough, she'd start hurting the dogs. If I moved the animals out of the way, then she'd go after her sister and start pulling her hair or punching her, kicking her. These were severe, or she threatened to kill her. Severe things that we'd have to ask, what's your plan? And then talk to the doctor. It would end up taking hours and hours of work whenever these more serious things would come up. And so that's how the plan started was, okay, these are the behaviors we see. And unfortunately, it'd be a big cluster. Once she starts, it's not just I'm hitting and now
It's all of them.
No, it's all of them at once. And we just have to wait until her mind comes back because there's she wants what she wants. And that's all that will be. And even if you give her what she wants at that point, it won't matter. Then she wants something else and then she'll do the same thing. She's just gone and she's just going to lash out and do that. And so we learned what we can do ahead of time to make sure of what's safe. So it was making sure we had the sharps up. I was observant and watched, and there's two places she always grabs things to throw. And I'm like, oh, took a basket of, we have snowballs that we always take to hotel rooms with us. And so I pulled those out of the travel bag and put them there. And she started just chucking snowballs at us. And it changed everything. That's so simple. So that reduced a lot of the danger. Because first she's not chucking heavy things at us. So then we have to take care of this. It's dangerous. And then she's chucking snowballs at us. And then we start giggling. And then then we can deal with the problem. It gives us time and lets her calm down. That alone took care of, another 10% of some of the things. And then some of the other things ahead of the moment were like making sure that when I saw it coming, because we started spiraling some of the things, and some of the things were that we saw that she get upset with her sister. And so it'd be like, let's go take a break. And so we created this closet for her. She does foster care for kittens, and we were taking a break because I started getting worried about the foster kitten. She hurt one and that was it. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. And so it has magical clouds that have lights in them, and I sprayed lavender oil on them, and it's a walk-in closet. It's huge. So it's carpeted and I want to live there. It's so nice. And so she has this calming place, this calming zen place, and she can go in there and do origami. It even has a regular light in there. It's where I was keeping my school supplies up above, and she loves it. Before I was paralyzed, I was like, oh, I won't do any good and she'll destroy it. She hasn't. She loves it in there. When she gets mad, she starts destroying it. I just move her hand, and it doesn't take much now because she's able to calm down faster. And then after that, it was asking for help. I never asked for help. That was too hard for me. No one's going to help me. What are all the other things I used to think? Nobody can help me because this kid is too hard. Nobody's available. All the things. And what if I invite people in and then she's acting like this and then we have problems? Problems. We can have problems. Afraid of those problems. And because of the plan, I was able to ask two neighbors. And so one of them, if I see it's coming, I say, hey, how about you go take a walk to neighbor Debbie's house? And she's done that. And it's averted another 20%. And then another neighbor, we were doing something that was going to be hard. She always had a meltdown at night when we come home. And I was freaking out and stressing about it. And I was like, you know what? I need help. So I'm going to ask her. And if we're having a hard time, if she's having a meltdown, I'm going to ask her to just pop over just to say hi to the girls. Because I know that'll change. It'll turn the switch. And she said, yeah, sure, anytime. And just knowing that there's people out there changed it for me, too. It's like, oh, I have a village here, not just with the village with Common Chaos, but also I have a physical village too. Mm-hmm. And so not only was that very calming for me, but it also was like real help too. Mm-hmm. I could just call on her and my daughter wouldn't know that I'd called her, but also she'd be there if I needed it. And then the other thing is we have a code word. I say time. My oldest daughter takes the dog into her room, shuts herself in. I now hold up a pink, we have a gymnastics mat, and I just kind of get Nora into the closet. We don't close the door because that's a trigger for her. And I just stand there stay close. And we just wait it out. And I don't respond to any of the things she says because she ends up with a potty mouth during that time. And we just wait it out. And they're now like 10 minutes long. And they used to
be— How long were they before?
45 minutes for the intense part of it. And then it was like, and then her shame, and it was 3 hours, I would say, of meltdown. I would never expected this, but so we had the 45 minute intense part of the meltdowns, but honestly, each meltdown was really a 3 hours of difficulty, and that was three times a day. A 9 hour day, I was tired, but now it's three meltdowns, about 10 minutes each. And that's not per day, that's per week.
So we're going from 9 hours of dealing with meltdowns, extreme, stressful, dangerous meltdowns, to 30 minutes in an entire week. That's a part-time job. That's like how much time that was, just that, not counting the exhaustion afterwards, right? And wow, that's a huge shift. And how long has it been since the beginning to now?
5 months.
5 months. So in 5 months. So if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, I'm at that place of having three meltdowns a day and they're taking up 3 hours, 9 hours, right? And Wait. 9 hours a day. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So we just did the math wrong. That's a full-time job. Like, that's a full-time job. No. Yeah. So 9 hours a day, every day. Yeah. So we're looking, goodness gracious, right? That's more than a full-time job. And now we're going to 30 minutes a week. And when people say, I don't have time for this, I always say, you don't have time to not do this, right? Make your reason not to your exact reason to do it. And you are just such a great example of that, because if someone had told you that all you've got to do is just trust the process, and in 5 months, you'll get 60 plus hours back in your week, plus you'll have a relationship with your kids, would you have said, yes, I'll do this?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have believed it.
True.
I said, nothing else has been that amazing. Yeah. I was just hoping to not have to hospitalize her, but to have this, to have the life I have now, and to have it be, I mean, at the beginning, you had us go through, what's our wildest dream? And it was, for me, I've always wanted to write. I want to help people. And so I'm writing a book about IEPs, and I'm writing a book about adoption. And there I am thinking, oh, it'd be so wonderful to be able to work on those, but and be like a human, not just a mom. I would just like to get through the day, honestly. But now I'm working on those books. I have friendships. I have time to be with my friends. And before, I didn't even have time to text my friends. My kids would be so jealous of me even talking to friends. My house is a little bit clean, I actually have a weekly schedule that I keep up with for cleaning. And like, I vacuum once a week, and sometimes I even pull it out when I just don't like how the floor feels. I would not have believed that I would be even interested in 5 months ago is cleaning. And I'm not saying you're going to want to clean your house if you start this. Don't worry. You're not going to want to clean this. Don't worry. It won't turn you into a clean freak. That's just how I'm built. It's made me able to access who I am. Mm. And all I was a special needs mom who sucked at it. Mm. That's what I was. And Now, I'm not just a mom anymore. I'm also me. And that's awesome. I'm able to do the things I like. 5 months ago, someone asked me, what do I like doing? I hide in the bathroom and think about running to Mexico and changing my name. That's what I dream about. Those are my dreams. So yeah, it's very different. I would not have expected to be able to have a real life.
Yeah. Talk to me about the relationship between your girls now.
Oh, so just as I hated my youngest daughter, what she was doing in our family, my oldest, now she's 12, so it's okay if she hates her sister because that's siblings, you know. That's allowed.
We'll work on that. That'll be the next plan. Don't worry. We'll work on it.
No, but she did hate her sister. And you know what? That was honestly, I looked at it and I was like, I don't blame her. I don't blame you, kiddo. It's not fair the way things are for you. But now my oldest, because she's seen that she can be safe, because she's seen how quickly my youngest is able to recover, because she's seen that the little one's okay. I mean, that she has problems, but now she's starting to see how her problems are actually making her be this great kid at the same time. She's seeing her as a whole person, and it's doing something for her. And now she went shopping the other day with my sister and she bought her a present. The other day, her sister went in and asked her for help with something. I try and stay out of their makeup and clothing choices because I like that to be a sister thing. She goes in because she'll say, does this look okay? And I tell them, you really don't want an old lady telling you what. Go ask your sister. She knows all that stuff. Her sister's very happy to help her. And so they are forging a really close bond now. And it's beautiful. And it's because the youngest one is able to do things that aren't like poking and trying to get her like that way. Now they have a way to be close. And now that we're more of a team.
And talk to me about your outlook and your view. At the beginning, you were a little nervous to share how you felt about your daughter and saying, can I be honest? I hated her or hated what her behavior was doing to our family. How has that changed?
Oh, gosh. She's so much fun. How do I say this? Okay, I'm gonna share something I didn't plan to share. When a child doesn't live with their parent, with both parents, it's really important that you love the parent that they're from. And so I've worked very hard to do that, to love the parent that my daughter's from. And so I've worked hard to do that. And here I was hating her. And I thought, see, it's hard. It's hard to know that you hate your child. It's hard to know that, because we're not supposed to hate our children. We love them. It's really hard to see your child and wish you didn't have to figure out how to get through that day with them. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to wonder how you can be nice to them today when they keep beating you up. When you have scratches on your face and when you have to put your favorite sweater in the wash again because they spit on it and they know it's your favorite and they also broke your favorite mug and they're doing all these things to get you to see them. And you do see them, but they don't see that you see them and you are tired.
Yeah.
It's so hard to feel that way about them that I cannot do another day with this child the way I feel without calling CPS on myself. And that's a hard way to feel. And to know that I worked that hard to love who she's from, but to not love her, that's no way to parent. You know, that's really hard. Yeah. But now, having done the work and looking at the things that made her hard to love at the time, it was a real revelation, because here I had no idea. One of the things I got to learn was that she thrives on a plan. It turns out she had a plan in her head, but she never told anybody that she had a plan. And so if she didn't get to do what was in her head as a plan, she went nuts. All I had to do was find out, what plan do you have in your mind? What do you have going that you think you're going to do next? What's the plan? And once she told me, it's, oh, do that and then come back. And it has changed everything. It's, oh, you have a plan. Okay, well, let's do your plan and then come back and we'll do my plan next. And I had no idea. And now we work with her plan. Now we make the plan for the day before, the next day, the night before, so that she knows what to expect. And now it's so much easier. Mm-hmm. We're able to just work with how her brain works. Before I had no idea how her little brain works.
Yeah. And how do you feel about her?
Oh my gosh, she's so much. She's so And she's always been kind of a fun kid because her vocabulary is crazy smart. She talks like a little adult. But to sit there and not be disgusted with having to sit there and listen to her, to actually enjoy listening to her, it is so much fun because her thoughts about the world are spot on. And to hear her view of the world is so much fun now. We have to come home late at night, plan. It's going to be boring, plan. Tomorrow we have to get up early in the morning and leave, plan. We'll come home from something and my kids on the way home, they'll be like, Mom, that was really fun. And I'm glad I had this, that, and this with me. But next time we go, I think it would work better if I had brought this, this, and that. And I think I also want to prepare by doing this before we go. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. Well, you're tweaking the plans on the way home.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. Yeah. So now that you're 5 months out and you have created Ride the Storm plans, emergency plans, time and energy plans, family success plans, all the things, what would you say to you back 5 months ago when you were contemplating, should I join Calm the Chaos? My life is, I hate to put words in your mouth, but some, like you've said it before, my life is a disaster. It's a hot mess. I can't take on one more thing. What would you say to yourself back then?
Do it. Mm-hmm. You have no other choice at this point. There is nothing left of you to give these children. If you don't change something now, something from outside will change it for you.
Yeah. And what would you tell someone about the program that maybe is thinking about either joining the 7-day free workshop or joining us in our Calm the Chaos program?
You've got to do it. I knew I needed something intuitively, and I knew I'd gotten your book and it was the one, because I'm really into science and learning how the brain works. And I'd read every book. I tried all the plans through the B plan, and I tried all those things, and none of them fit my kids. And they also weren't sustainable. But this is something sustainable because it's a little bit at a time and it's highly supported. Here, it's people who hold me accountable, who also are vulnerable, and who also get it. So there is no shaming. There is no judgment.
I cannot thank you enough for being so vulnerable and sharing your story and being open. And I know before we even got on this, I said, are you sure you're okay with talking about how you felt about your daughter? I hear it all the time, but I also know how hard it is to admit that you feel that way about your kids. And you said to me, yes, I feel really important about saying this because I know there's people out there who feel ashamed or feel like they're the only ones. And so just thank you for being so vulnerable and being willing to share that part of the story with others.
You create that space for people to be able to share that. And that's another thing that I really love about this space is you create that place where we can all have that vulnerability and be who we are. Because we all know it's temporary. We all know it's not going to last forever. which is a beautiful thing.
I love that. And I'm so honored to be on this journey with you. Is there anything that I did not ask or that I forgot to ask you that you just want to share from your heart?
Just anytime I talk to somebody about Calm the Chaos, the one thing I want them to know is it changed everything. And I sound like I joined a cult. I don't care. I really don't.
Just so people know, this is not a cult. If you're listening to this podcast or if you're watching this video, this is not a cult. I promise you. Really, I think that's what every cult leader says, though, is this is not a cult. But I promise this is not a cult.
Truly, it's not. But it changed everything for me. You create the tools and you create what we need to be able to apply the science. Mm-hmm. Which you get nowhere else, and you make it accessible and sustainable. And mm-hmm. for that, I will be forever grateful. You made my family a family again.
Thank you. I'm so thankful I got to be a part of that transformation and that story. And thank you for coming and sharing your story. And for anyone listening, if you have resonated with any of this, I really encourage you to message me, message the team, and just let us know so I can pass the message on to Tamara and let her know how her story has touched you. And I want to invite you to join us in our Calm the Chaos program. Make the reason you're not changing things, make the reason you're not taking action the actual reason to jump in, because you're worth it. Tamara has shared this amazing story with you 9 hours a day to 30 minutes a week, dealing with challenging, explosive, dangerous behaviors. But more than that, she went from not liking, almost hating her child to loving everything about who her child is. And if that does not give me a reason for why I do what I do, that right there is exactly why I show up every single day, because your child needs you. Tamara, thank you so much for coming on. Those of you that are listening, thank you for listening and following along. And I hope to see you inside Calm the Chaos soon.
Oh, and before I go, one quick note for all of you who are enjoying the podcast. My new book is officially live, and I know you're going to love it. So just a quick reminder, you can go get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you do, you'll get some cool bonuses as well. Once again, get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com, and I'll see you next week.